Thank you so much. Yes, apologies. Our CEO, Michelle Hutton, just got back from a ski trip in Japan with a completely busted knee. So it was a little bit of a last minute invite here. And also, we don't actually officially launch our Australian Trust Barometer until next week. So you're seeing this hot off the press and in draft form. So bear with me also as I get all these data points in front of you. But I'm honored to be here today to talk about trust, as there is no doubt that, as you've just heard, Australia is at an important crossroads. And as we seek leadership on important societal, economic, and cultural reforms, we do so in the midst of a crisis in trust. Edelman, if you don't know, is a global communications business, and we have been studying trust for 20 years now with the Edelman Trust Barometer. We look at how and why people trust societal institutions of government, business, NGOs, and media. And we ask if they trust these institutions to do the right thing. This year's results were released in Davos just a few weeks ago, and they really bring the crisis in trust to sharp reality. We are certainly living in a time of great paradox, and there's a lot to unpack, so let me jump straight into it. Oh, next slide. So, we actually get asked quite a lot by business leaders, why is trust important? Should my organization focus on it? Is there a commercial benefit? And my answer is yes, yes, and yes. Trust is essential for organizations and society's future success. We have now surveyed over the past 2 million respondents, 145 companies. We've researched and analyzed 87,000 employee interviews and done 150 peer-reviewed academic articles and extensive interviews with business leaders from around the world. And the findings clearly show that trust matters. Trust creates stronger advocacy, greater loyalty with consumers and employees. It attracts institutional investment. There's less unnecessary interference from regulators, and trusted companies do outperform the S&P 500. Let me quickly just go over the methodology as I go through the data so you know where and how it all came together. Last year, we did the survey in field between mid-October and November, and we surveyed 34,000 people in 28 markets globally. As best as possible, our sample reflects the general population, and there's approximately 1,100 respondents per market. We oversample in two areas, the affluent audience, which we call the informed public. They are people who are college educated, in the top 25 of income, and also report being across business and policy news, so they're heavy news consumers. We also oversampled on Gen Z this year to understand what that generation is looking for out of business and government. Given all of the turmoil that we've just been through in the last few months with the bushfires and the coronavirus, we actually commissioned a supplementary piece of research that we will launch next week to look at how things have changed even since we were in field in November, because I'm sure we'll probably agree those numbers would have shifted even more. But more on that next week when we officially launch. So here's the state of play. In spite of rising stock markets, in spite of good employment numbers around the world, many of the large economies are not trusting. Trust has totally stagnated across the general population. There are a handful of markets, China, India, Malaysia, where trust still dominates, but for most of the Western markets and developed markets, including Australia at 47 points this year, distrust still exists. Australia has been in the distruster group here for the past 10 years. We haven't shifted, so it begs the question, is this just our new reality? But here's the actual real story that we found. When you compare the trust between the informed public and the mass population, there is a very concerning difference. New records have been set this year for the number of markets with a trust inequality. All-time highs have been recorded. So the informed public sample is feeling quite trusting. You can see in the blue boxes there, they are two-thirds of the global markets are trusting in that informed public group. But the mass population table looks completely different. It's dominated by red distrust. take a look at the really large gaps in Germany, France, Spain, and Saudi Arabia. But Australia tops them all. We had the largest trust inequality gap in the world, and it increased 10 points this year since we surveyed in 2019. This was actually mainly driven by a really sharp increase in trust in the informed public, less a decrease in trust by the mass population, but it is a very large, significant number. So what is causing all of this? Oh, sorry, missed a slide. The informed public in Australia trust all four institutions. We're just one point off high trust in the media. But it's a completely different story in Australia for that mass population. Media at 36%, 41% for government, high distrust. And that's a 23-point gap across the board between that informed public and that mass population. So what is driving that divide? We've heard a lot about it today already. Pessimism, uncertainty. We have worries and concerns, and there's a general feeling of unease about the future. In this slide, you'll see 32% of Australians believe that they and their families will be better off in 5 years. Not a single developed market is on the optimistic side of this chart. One in four in the UK, Germany, France, and Japan believe their economic prospects will improve. Globally, we know that 78% of the gen pop agree that elites are just getting richer while people are struggling to pay their bills. And it's not just everyday people. There was an annual survey of global CEOs done by PwC, which was also launched in Davos, which showed that CEOs and business leaders are feeling equally pessimistic. 80% of Australians are worried about losing their job. And that's because of things like the casualization of the workforce, the gig economy, a lack of training and skills, and concerns about the recession. We're also really worried about technology, this thing that's supposed to be helping our lives and making it so much better. But there's a feeling it's a bit out of control, and the pace of change is just too fast. People believe that the government is ineffectual with an inability to quickly respond and regulate around new technologies. And there are strong concerns about deep fakes and technologies that manipulate images and sounds and make it difficult to know what is real. And building on that issue, people are also really worried about being able to discern what is real and what information they can trust in the media. Even media that you consume frequently and you do generally trust, 55% feel that that information could be contaminated and untrustworthy. 74% are worried about fake news being used as a weapon, and that's gone up 7 points in the last year. And while we've had significant societal challenges, we do not trust our leaders to step up and effectively address these challenges. 3 in 4 Aussies don't have confidence that our current leaders will successfully address our country's challenges. And remember, this survey was done at the end of last year, before the bushfire crisis was in full effect, before coronavirus. So we hypothesize these numbers will change significantly in the last few months, and more about that when we launch our supplementary study next week. We also asked in this year's survey a new question. We asked people who they trust to do what's right. So not just the institution, but what type of leaders. And the only types of leaders people say they trust are scientists and regular people in the community, their fellow citizens, people like them. Government leaders, religious leaders are distrusted, and we're even unsure about CEOs. So our institutions are falling short. What is the pathway forward to rebuild trust? To get there, institutions will regain trust by establishing that they're both competent and ethical. For years, the Edelman Trust Barometer has asked a very simple question. How much do you trust an institution to do, so take action, what is right? So take action in the right way. And the second part of that question does have a really significant moral and ethical component. We really wanted to dive into that in our 2020 survey. So we asked respondents this year to tell us their views on the institutions in more detail. We asked them, do they trust them to get things done? What specific parts of the institution is working? Do they have a purpose, vision? Are they fair and honest? Are they ethical? So check this out. Here are the results if you plot out where an institution falls on the axis of ethics and competence. The first thing you'll notice is the big empty box in the top right corner. Not a single institution is seen as being competent and ethical. Business is the only institution that's on the right side on the competence axis, and that illustrates why we've been seeing a call for business and CEOs to step up and lead, as they're seen as the only institution probably able to get stuff done. But business falls very short on ethics. There's one institution that's seen as being ethical, and that's NGOs, but they fall short on competence because they've been seen as ineffective and not really able to get stuff done. Government and media are neither ethical or competent, with government weighing down that chart like a big anchor. And our research to kind of go into this, and you'll see more next week, shows that the two key reasons we see around this low trust in media and government and why they're sitting here on this axis is around honesty. So they're more likely to be seen as corrupt and biased, and fairness. So these institutions aren't seen as serving the interests of everyone equally and fairly. By 3-1, ethics matter more than competence when it comes to trust in companies. We have done a deep analysis tracking individual company trust of 40 companies globally, and competence can only explain 24% of the total trust score. So 76% is being explained by dimensions related to companies' ethics, so integrity, purpose, and dependability. The good news is that many companies and CEOs are recognizing this reality and taking action to realign their companies and strategies in a way which can be more inclusive and ethical. And you can see some of these global examples from the last year or so. But here's the context that we're still working in. Australians no longer feel in control. We live in a country where institutions wielding power over us are increasingly seen as unethical and for the most part incompetent. We're influenced by events rather than influencing events. Everyone, young, old, rich, poor, has serious doubts about the twin pillars of Australian society, democracy and capitalism. Nearly half say the system is failing them. It's up 3 points from the year ahead. And 3 in 4 think there's a sense of injustice in the world today. Aussies think politicians lie, business is self-interested, CEOs are raking in the big bucks, and NGOs are not being transparent about their funding. So we may accept that we are a skeptical and distrusting nation. Australia has always had low trust scores, but I don't think we want to accept an Australia that doesn't agree with democracy and capitalism. So we need to work that out. So what can we do and what can business do? So remember, business was seen as the most competent of the institutions, seen as being able to act most effectively. Looking at the competence scale in a little bit more detail, when we ask people the questions probing around these things, what we saw is business is seen as doing well on generating value for owners, driving economic prosperity, and being the engine of innovation. So that's good, but they're all measures of competence. There's no ethical component to this at all, and that's the opportunity for business. So let me talk to you through a few specific actions that you can take to drive trust and increase the perceptions of being more ethically minded. Here we go, I like this chart. So the bottom of this chart shows that if the institutions focused on the drivers above, they could increase their trust scores by that percentage. So if business looks at how it can be more fair, pay a decent wage, partner with government and NGOs, and to drive societal change, they could see a 17-point increase in trust. So they're the areas to focus on. For NGOs, it's about transparency of funding and decreasing politics. For government, less partisanship, more local action and solutions. And for media, information quality and being better able to differentiate opinion from news and fact. You need to start with your people. Employees are your most valued possession, and they trust employers. So they trust what's local. More than government, more than business, they trust their employer to do what's right. So this is a really key part of the solution. Employees want to be part of the solution. They want to feel they have a voice in the company about the path forward and how they can remobilize jobs and how they can embrace innovation and change. They also want to feel that they have an opportunity in their role, in their employment, to do something that helps society. Excuse me. The other thing to think about is how you serve all of your stakeholders. The majority of those in the trust barometer said that business should act not in the interest of its shareholders, but all stakeholders, particularly employees, first and foremost, and customers and communities second. So 91% said that. And as you can imagine, 70% agree that a company can do both, make money and be a positive force in the community it operates in. The next one is to take the lead. Companies and CEOs are stepping up because they know that long-term growth requires businesses to be part of the solution to restore trust and help prepare society for the future. As the only institution that is trusted to be competent, business has both a unique opportunity and a responsibility to act as a catalyst for change. And more than 3 in 4 believe CEOs need to lead that change more than government. They can't wait for government. Go out and act, and that's a 13-point increase from last year. And it is encouraging to see that CEOs, Aussie CEOs, that are speaking out, like Alan Joyce and Mike Cannon-Brookes, is being effective, and that's what Australians are looking for, that type of leadership. And what business leaders need to be talking about is actually focused on the business community. It's about jobs, training for the future, diversity, the ethical use of technology, how automation's going to impact jobs, income inequality. They're the types of topics that people are looking for CEOs to be on the forefront around. So, to wrap up, the path forward. First, do the right thing. Institutions must do things that benefit the society as much as the financial business or for a political short-term gain. Instead, they should be wrestling with the more complicated questions of what it means to do the right things by the customers, by their employees, by the community that they work in. They must act. Second, as we saw, partnership is really important. Overwhelmingly, we saw the findings that people believe government and business needs to be working together to solve and collaborate on vital issues for the moment. Most people believe that they aren't and don't believe that they're being listened to or that they're considering other people's views. And finally, lead. There is a thirst for leadership. We're asking big questions at the moment. We want thoughtful answers. We want to engage in the conversation, and we require those answers from our leaders. We want them to embrace those difficult questions and think about the reform and the changes that go with it. The Australian public has always been skeptical of its institutions. We're never going to be that trusted nation at the top of that global list. But I think we all know that institutions now are on notice. This is a moment to act with urgency and purpose. Trust rebuilding requires our institutions and me and you and us to act, to try harder and to do better, to do good. And we need to do that now. So thank you.